Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Did you know that you have an inheritance coming to you? If you read God's Word, the Bible, there's one that is promised to you. In Acts chapter 20, the Bible says, "I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and, listen, give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified." What does that mean? An inheritance is what you get for being part of a family. It's rightfully yours because you are a child in that family. Let me give you an example. Pretend that your father is the famous billionaire Warren Buffett. And let's say he dies, and if you never took time to read the will, you'd be foolish because you wouldn't get what was rightfully due to you because you wouldn't benefit from what belongs to you as a child of a billionaire. In the same way, when you become a follower of Jesus, you don't just become a believer, you become a belonger. You are incorporated into the family of God. You become a child of God, and along with that come family privileges. You now have a spiritual inheritance from your heavenly Father. If you walked through your entire life and you didn't know what benefits were available to you as a child of God, that would be tragic, it would be sad, and it would be foolish. How do you find out what He's got in store for you? You gotta read the Bible. You see, one of the purposes of the Bible is to help you discover God's inheritance for you. God wants you to be thoroughly equipped for everything He has in store for your life here and later in eternity. So let's get started and look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, we continue in our series called 40 Days of Love. This is part one of a message called Love is Not Easily Angered, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the Life-Giving Study DVD and study kit for this series. You can take a sneak peek at it while you listen today just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 99000. And now here's Rick with today's message.
Anger is the most misunderstood and, by the way, misapplied emotion of all the emotions that we have as human beings. It is not necessarily a sin. A lot of people think anger is always a sin. Not necessarily. Sometimes anger is the most appropriate response. Actually, anger is a capacity given to you by God. God gets angry. And there are some times you should get angry. Sometimes anger is an evidence of love. If somebody hurt my wife, somebody hurt my kids, I would get angry. In fact, if I didn't get angry, it would mean I would be heartless. It would mean I would be apathetic. The opposite of love is not anger. The opposite of love is apathy, not caring. And if you never get angry, it means you're a vegetable, not a human being. There are some times in life you should get angry. The problem is not anger. The problem is whether it's appropriate or inappropriately expressed. Managed anger is actually a good thing. It produces good marriages, it produces good leadership, good churches, good businesses, and many other things in knowing how to put anger in its proper place. The problem is, as I said, is we don't know how to express it because when you grew up, nobody taught you how to manage your anger. And as a result, we live in what psychiatry calls the age of rage. And that's really what our society is today. Nobody learned how to manage their anger. You didn't learn it from your parents. You didn't learn it at school. You don't learn it at business. And in most churches, they don't even teach it. Well, I'm going to teach you tonight. But the Bible's very clear about what is appropriate, what's inappropriate. What we typically do is we go to one extreme or the other. And just because you don't turn into Mount Vesuvius doesn't mean you don't have an anger problem. Let me tell you something. You have an anger problem. You do. And I can give you a dozen different ways that you manifest it, and we're going to talk about those tonight. But typically, the two extremes are some people clam up when they get angry, and other people blow up when they get angry. Some people stuff it all inside, and others let it all out. There's the difference between the mute, keep it quiet, and the maniac, let it all out. There's the difference. Everybody in life tends to be either a turtle or a skunk. Okay? And when you get into conflict, if you're a turtle, you pull your neck back in and you hide in your shell and you play Mary Martyr. On the other hand, if you're a skunk, you just stink up the place. Okay, and you spew all over and you let everybody know. Now, the truth is, skunks always marry turtles. And turtles always marry skunks. It's just God's sense of humor that he puts opposites together. He says, watch this. We're going to put them together. So in your marriage, one of you is likely to be the skunk and the other is likely to be the turtle. It always, always happens. Now, let me give you a little facts about anger you may not know. For instance, the average woman loses her temper 3 times a week, while the average man loses his temper about 6 times a week. Women get more often angry at people, while men more often get angry at things, you know, machines and stuff like that that break down. Isn't that interesting? Single adults express anger twice as often as married adults. It's interesting. Men are far more physical in their anger than women. You are more likely to express anger at home than anywhere else. Well, duh. Successful marriages are not those marriages where anger or conflict does not exist, but rather it's where they've learned to manage it. And when anger is managed, it produces great marriages and it produces great friendships and great businesses and great athletes and great leaders and all these different things. So this weekend, we want to look at what God has to say about how do you tame your temper. And the Bible is very clear about this, particularly in the book of Proverbs. God gives us very specific designs and principles on which we are to build the proper use of anger. Love does not get easily angered. So how do I tame my temper? The first thing God says to do if you want to tame your temper is you must resolve to manage it.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But right now, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And click on his social media links. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
Jesus said that of all the commandments in the Bible, 2 are most important. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. When you do this, you end up obeying the rest of God's commandments, and all the relationships in your life, even the difficult ones, get so much better. To help you do this, Pastor Rick wants to send you the 40 Days of Love study kit, which includes a 6-session DVD and a study guide. In this video series, Rick teaches you how to make loving God and loving others the central focus in your life. He shares practical, Christ-centered advice on how to authentically love God and love your neighbor as a normal way of life. When you learn to focus on the spiritual principles of patience, kindness, truth, and forgiveness, love will become your dominant life value. Please let us send you the 40 Days of Love study kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick with 2 R's in the middle, .com. There's only 3 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait.
Once again, here's Rick.
The first thing God says to do if you want to tame your temper is you must resolve to manage it. Resolve to manage it. What I mean by that is you quit saying, I can't control it, and start realizing that you can. You stop making excuses for your anger and realize that anger is a choice, just like love. When you get angry, you are choosing to get angry. Nobody's forcing you to get angry. Nobody can make you mad. People say, you make me so mad. Nobody can make you mad without your permission. Anger is a choice. And you choose it or you don't choose it. In fact, you have far more control over your anger than you want to admit. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're at home and you're in an argument with somebody in your family and your voices are raised and you're yelling and you're getting excited and you're upset and you're mad, and all of a sudden the phone rings and you go, hello? Oh, yes. He's right. It's for you, honey. And you hand him the phone. Now, what happened? You just turned on a dime. Anger is highly controllable. Don't tell me that you can't control it. You can change when you want to change. And in that instance, you didn't want to be embarrassed and you didn't want to look dumb or shameful or whatever. And so you flipped real quick. Anger is a choice, and you resolve to manage it. In fact, the Bible says this in Proverbs 29:11. Let's read it aloud together this weekend. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Circle the word keeps. Keeps means it's a choice. It's a responsibility. And when I get angry, I'm choosing to get angry, and I'm not blaming anybody else. Now, when I say resolve to manage your anger, resolve means you make a choice in advance. And listen very carefully. The time to decide to manage your anger is not when your blood pressure's rising, your adrenaline shooting into your system, your nerves are all on alert, and you can feel the flush in your face and your muscles tense. No, you've already lost the battle at that point. You resolve to manage it in advance. Before I go into this meeting, before I open the door to home, you decide today I'm just not going to get angry. I'm not going to let it get to me. And you manage it by first resolving. That means to decide in advance that I'm going to make the choices and I'm going to work on it before it happens, not in the heat of the moment. I realize anger is a choice, and I'm going to choose today to not let anything really upset me. Number two, how do you do this is by, number two, remember the cost. When you remember the cost of uncontrolled anger, you will be more motivated to manage it. You see, you're less likely to get angry if you realize that there's always a price tag to anger. Now, the Bible's very, very specific, and I could have given you dozens of verses on the high cost of losing your temper. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22. A hot-tempered man gets into all kinds of trouble. And you could go on and on about the all kinds. In fact, it's, you know, true confession is good for the soul. So how about on these next three verses, let's take a little survey and see if any of you could give personal testimony on this. How many of you would agree from your own life that you found in Proverbs 15:18 that hot tempers cause arguments? How many of you agree with that and have seen that? Yeah, right. Okay. How about this one? Anger causes mistakes. How many agree with that? Yeah, right. Then how about this one? People with hot tempers do foolish things. Yeah. In fact, people make real fools of themselves in public. Well, you know, when you get angry, you lose 50% IQ. You just, you know, something is like somebody shoots a hole in your head or something, and you do things you would never do. Silly, stupid, embarrassing things if you weren't angry. Proverbs 29:11-29 says this, the fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. You always lose when you lose your temper. You might write this down. I always lose when I lose my temper. I always lose when I lose my temper. Now, what do you lose? Well, you lose your reputation. You can lose the respect of others. You could lose your job. You could lose a sale. You could lose the love of your family. You could lose your health. You know, when you say, you know, he's such a pain in the, and name your favorite anatomy part. Well, it's true. You see, when I swallow my anger, my stomach keeps score. Your body was not designed to handle anger. God didn't mean for you to carry rage around inside of you. And when you carry anger constantly in you, you get sick. And there are all kinds of ailments that people could get out of the hospital from if they weren't carrying guilt, resentment, or anger. You see, it doesn't matter how well you eat. You may eat a perfect, organic, 100% natural macrobiotic diet. And if you're carrying anger around, you're still going to get sick because it's not so much what you eat, it's what eats you. You could have a perfect diet and eat all the right foods and still you're sick all the time. Why? It's what's eating you that's making you sick, not what you're eating. And so we need to remember the cost whenever we're tempted to lose our temper. You know, parents in particular learn pretty quickly that you can scare kids into doing something by getting angry at them. Now, you get in there right now and clean up your room is much more effective than, would you please go in and clean up your room? And we often will use anger to get people to do something. Why? Because it works in the short term. But the long-term effects are devastating. You can get people to do almost anything by frightening them. When you scare people, you can get people to do almost anything as long as they're afraid. And if they're afraid of your anger, well, then they're going to get in there and going to do it. And there's short-term payoffs. But in the long run, there are always three price tags for anger. More anger, apathy, and alienation. Whenever you get angry at someone, they don't respond well to that. When people get angry at you, when people get angry at you, do you want to hang out with them? No. When people get angry at you, you have three responses. First, you get angry back. Second, if they keep getting angry at you, pretty soon you just become apathetic and go, well, I can't please them. And that's the way a lot of kids feel. A lot of teenagers feel that way about their parents. Well, I can't please them. They're just always angry. And so they become apathetic. And if you keep getting angry, pretty soon to protect themselves, there comes alienation. And the relationship is broken. So you get the short-term obedience from your anger, but in the long term, you destroy the relationship with your child or anybody else, for that matter. You have to resolve to manage it, and then you have to remember the cost. And what is the cost? Nothing destroys relationships faster than anger. Nothing. Nothing destroys relationships faster than anger. And so if you just keep using it in any relationship, you are guaranteeing that you're going to destroy that relationship and you're going to create apathy and more anger and alienation. And here's the third thing the Bible says. Reflect before reacting. Reflect before reacting. In other words, think before you speak. Put your mind in gear before you put your mouth in gear. Anger control is really largely a matter of mouth control. And if you can watch your words, then you're going to watch your anger. And what the Bible tells us is it is foolish to respond impulsively to anything. And when something gets your goat, something ticks you off, something irritates you, something makes you bad, the Bible says, first, resolve to manage it, then remember the cost of losing your temper, and then reflect before reacting. In other words, don't respond impulsively. Let there be a little delay before you respond. Proverbs 29, verse 11 says this. Let's read it aloud. A stupid man gives free rein to his anger. A wise man waits and lets it grow cool. Circle the world, waits. He's saying one of the greatest tools for anger management is delay. He said, just wait a minute. Don't write that email instantly when you read one that's upsetting. Don't pick up the phone. Don't respond back when somebody says something mean-spirited to you. Don't do it. He said, wait. Our third president, Jefferson, used to say, he was the guy who invented the idea, when you get angry, count to 10. And he said, when you get really angry, count to 100. There's actually wisdom in that. Delay is a good factor in the longer you hold your temper, the more it improves. Now, notice that verse. It says, a stupid man gives free rein to his anger, but a wise man waits and lets it, what? Grow cool. See, this is the biblical basis for the term chill out. Okay? He said, cool it. Chill out. God says, when you start to get angry, wait and chill out. And give yourself time to think and reflect and keep it through. As I said, the longer you hold your temper, the better it improves. So delay is a great remedy. Have you noticed that you can't put your foot in your mouth when it's closed? So just wait a minute. By the way, did you know that the average man, male, speaks 25,000 words a day, the average male. The average woman, what are you laughing about? Speaks 30,000 words a day. That's why when a guy comes home at night from work and the wife comes home at work from night, she's still got 5,000 more words. She's got a surplus there to share with her loving husband. I was talking to a guy one time. I said, "Does it bother you that your wife always has the last word?" He said, "No, I'm just glad when she gets to it." I'm glad Kay's not here in the service. Delay is a great remedy to anger. Now, I'm not talking about delay for a week or a month or a year. No. In fact, the Bible says, do not let the sun go down in your anger. In other words, don't carry anger from today on to tomorrow. Because if you hold on to anger for more than 24 hours, anger turns to resentment. And resentment is always wrong. Anger is not always wrong. Bitterness is always a sin, and resentment is always a sin. So he says, you know, I'm not saying delay it and keep putting off and carry that anger in your heart for days and weeks and months and not deal with it. No. I'm saying that if you're in an argument and you both start to get real vocal about it, it's okay to say, oh, time out. Let's just take a 5-minute break, okay? And you let that kind of subside a little bit. And then you come back and you talk when you're a little bit calmer.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. Be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. That's PastorRick.com. Rick will be back in just a moment with a closing thought. But just before that, let me ask you, is it possible to love the people in your life any more than you already do? Pastor Rick says it is. But it's not about trying harder or willing yourself to love more. It's about discovering what God says about love in His Word. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Jesus says that the two most important things you can do while you're here on earth are to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, life is all about love. Now, as believers, it's not just enough to talk about love or to read about love or to discuss love. We must show it. We must exhibit it by the way we treat other people. Now, the Bible says that we do this. We learn to be genuinely loving people by relying on the love that God has for us. That's why I've put together a 6-session study kit called 40 Days of Love. It includes a study guide and a 6-session DVD that will teach you the habits of a loving heart. Now, you can go through it by yourself, but really, how are you going to learn to love by yourself? You need to do it in a small group with 2 or 3 friends or even more. Just get some friends and some neighbors and say, let's learn how to really love. And let's study this together for 40 days. Now, 40 Days of Love is going to teach you why love matters most, more than anything else. And it's going to teach you what the Bible means when it says that love is patient and love is kind and love speaks the truth. Love keeps no record of wrongs. That love is forgiving. Now, I want to tell you something. This is a life-changing study. It changed my life when I did it. And it's going to change your life and those that you share it with. And if you really want to grow spiritually, you've got to learn how to love. Now, this month, we're offering the 40 Days of Love Study Kit for a financial gift to Daily Hope Ministries. I want everybody to be able to enjoy this study, so all I ask is that you help support Daily Hope Ministries. Now, I know some of you can afford a little bit more than others, and I appreciate that. It helps us keep on the air and helps us spread the message to other stations. But some of you, you're going through tough times and you don't have a whole lot. That's okay. I know you work hard for what you earn. I promise that whatever you give, no matter how large or small, that every cent that you send in to support Daily Hope goes right back into the ministry. I do this ministry for free. I take no money from it. And so you can be certain that any gift you give is helping spread the hope we have in Christ here at home and even all around the world. Now, thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004, or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with 2 R's in the middle, .com. There's only 3 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.